A year ago, I woke up in the morning, put my feet upon the ground.
Hey, welcome to Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We hope everybody got through the recent flood okay. They're going to just address that sort of at the top of this hour because,
the thing that happened.
You know, we're going to tell you that before we tell you all the other stuff. If you were affected by the recent flood in Louisiana, specifically around the Hammond and sort of like the entire I-12 area, it skipped North Louisiana a lot and it skipped New Orleans, which is weird.
That is
because New Orleans is like, it's always getting hammered with like hurricanes and storms, and if it like rains hard down there, they flood. They're just a bowl, in case you don't know. But
it is how it works.
It seriously affected people that weren't even in flood zones, which is really weird.
Yeah.
So
Saw like I-10 was closed. Going to Texas.
10
today.
Was closed going to Texas. They were going to close 59 over by Slidell, and then part of I-12 was underwater the other day. So I know Southeastern was actually a lot of Southeastern was underwater, and seemingly overnight it drained and went away. I guess that's what water does. I'm not trying to give this press because I think it's dumb. But there were plenty of angered people over an op-ed that was written by, I can't remember who she actually is. She's some cat pic connoisseur person online that for Odyssey that was about people getting all upset about Southeastern being open on Monday. So I'm not sure what that was about.
Okay. I don't know. I missed that.
You know, people that were legitimately affected, I bet they weren't actually on Facebook reading this. I bet they were affected with their lives, like insurance claims and family members and stuff. So
Indeed. Whatever. No,
I missed
that
one. But that's not what this show is about.
No, it's not. This is about more fun things.
This show is about dropping some nerd and geek knowledge on you as much and as often and as frequently as possible. That's why we're here. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to start that by telling you that we have resources online. You can go and you can look at our website. But Bear, what is that website?
You can go check it out at exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We have social media as well online. We don't manage it. Somebody else manages it. Well, it's me. Actually, I manage it. We don't host it.
Way to give it away.
We don't host it. It's Facebook, Twitter, Google+,
we don't
YouTube,
host Facebook.
Steam,
no, we don't.
All that stuff. You can go to exppoints.com/social. We've provided several nicely colored icons for you to click on.
Yay, colors.
Links are in the description. Colors. Follow it. Subscribe.
Just click
to
all
it.
The buttons.
Do all that
do
stuff.
Do all the stuff.
If you would like to give us money.
Type the words.
Let's get real serious. If you want to give us money, we have PayPal. We have Patreon. That's all I'm going to say. Please click on those buttons. Look at what we can do for you. Look at what we do for you already.
If
you appreciate this, cool. Appreciate us with dollar bills, yo.
Dollar bills, yo. You want a can so you can shake it?
No. We open the entire hour. I kind of left this part out. We open the entire hour with new stuff to experience points. This is The Day My Powers Arrived by Kirby Crackle. That's off their 2015 Mutate album. We're going to be playing a little bit more of them a little bit later or next episode. It depends on. I got a lot of new music for
us. Really excited
right
now.
Yeah, not new to us. Well, no, not new to the world.
New to the show.
New to the show. That's what
okay, there
we've been
you
listening
go.
To. It. We've been vetting it for you. So we're going to move on.
Let's get it out eventually.
This is Sevcon by Big Giant Circles and then Zombie Love Song by your favorite Martian. We'll come back after the break. Tell you what we did last week. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Nom, nom, nom. Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSL. You still experience points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You just heard Zombie Love Song by your favorite Martian. That's Ray William Johnson, in case you don't know who, like, fronted that band. I don't even think they're, like, a band anymore. I think they were, like, an internet band.
Yeah, so that was, like, a long time ago.
That was
ago
a while back. They had Club
Martian.
Villain. They
yeah,
had,
that was my first one I
yeah,
found.
Yeah, Club Villain. That was a real. We played that on the show a couple times. But,
okay, good. Go
and
us.
Then before that, Sevcon by Big Giant Circles. More from the Big Giant Circles. They're really, really awesome. We play.
Someone really likes the Big Giant Circles.
We say a video game legacy or whatever. We play that and it's really, really, really awesome. So
yay, awesome
let's
things.
Talk about what we did last week. There was the flood.
There was a
last
flood.
Thursday,
I was involved
last Thursday
in a flood.
Overnight. It seemed like, oh, it's just gonna rain a little bit and then it flooded. And so probably like you were kept inside. You didn't flood, did you?
I didn't flood. I actually jetted out of here and went to Baton Rouge, which always seems like a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was fine.
Nope. Any family?
Everyone actually fared pretty well.
How's your mind them?
My mind them. The good.
Yeah.
They want to build a wall to keep the water out.
Oh, careful. That's called a levee to those levee supporters.
To the levee supporters.
I'm very pro levee. Coming from Louisiana. Very cool.
Yeah. So, everyone did fine, though.
Very cool.
How about you and your folks?
Same. My folks are fine. They were on an island, sort of, because they have a pond, and then they had a bigger pond.
Right.
So they brought the this is as bad as Louisiana as it can get, right? They had rabbits, and the rabbits were okay because they were already like 4 or 5 feet off the ground. And then they had chickens, so they brought the chickens to the porch, and the chickens were cool on the porch. So we had they had probably like 6 chickens on the porch, and my dad's just feeding them. And my mom, of course, had to post that to Facebook, which is great.
Friend
my mom on Facebook if you like. And but his shop was all underwater. The boat survived, though.
I'm glad the boat could survive water.
He freshly planted some stuff in the field, and that got tons of water. So maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. I don't know if potatoes and corn
like outside of like I don't play Farmville anymore because that's not a thing anymore.
Right? So
Harvest Moon.
A thing. That's interesting.
No, it's not. I just thought about it. That's the first time I thought about Farmville in a while.
Very cool. What are you being into games? What
so
you playing?
Yeah, actually,
how'd that Pokemon go for you?
I am playing some Pokemon. Still working my way through Soul Silver.
Yeah,
I got a whole gym badge now. That's how my life's been going.
I don't know what that means, but ooh,
wow, so into Pokemon this one.
Yeah,
And I'm fighting with Steam right now.
Why are you fighting with Steam?
You remember I complained about my Google account.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I've lost all those Google accounts, right?
Right.
Turns out my Steam account is tied to my Google account because of the authentication, and it re-upped me randomly to email me the code and enter it. And I'm like, well, I can't.
Right.
So
you have to prove that you did own those accounts.
Now I have to try. Yeah, put in a help support ticket, and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that Steam
lost all of my game access.
That's something
that's something
that's woken me up in the middle of the night before. That's something that's actually
terrifying
me because
you know how much money I have in that account?
I've Steam calculated me before.
Yeah,
and I can only imagine you have about the same, if not
comparable
maybe.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have, let's just put it this way.
Probably more because you hunt out deals better than me.
If you have like $1,000 or more worth of Steam game, you know, Steamness, that's a problem. Like, if you have more, you know, if you have any amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, I hate it whenever I have an account that, you know, a long time ago, like a forum that I can't remember my password to.
Right. But this is like actual.
It was a charter email address I used, you know, back in the day.
AOL.
Some account you. There's no way you can get access to it. The company might not even. It's a GeoCities account. You don't even have it anymore.
Well.
It's Homestead version 1, you know, when it was free. So, I mean, you're not going to be able to have that anymore. So,
interested to see what they do. I hope it comes out okay, or else I'll be making a new account so I can Actually, I think you can get Undertale on Good Old Games.
Good Old Games or on Humble.
Humble is what I was thinking about.
And they're both virtually the same.
Right.
Like, not that they're actually the same. Good Old Games, fantastic in the way of using Galaxy Client. And it's good for games like Free Space, the Descent series, a lot of the old classic Duke Nukems and Dooms,
right,
as well as some newer things like Witcher 3. For instance, Witcher 3's DLC exclusively off of Good Old Games.
Oh, wow.
So
nice.
Really cool. And it does the same thing as, like, you know, DRM-free, download anytime, spread it around, spread the love. So
cool. Like I was saying, I was just, you know, I was wanting to play Undertale again because it's such a fun game, and I'm currently locked out of that.
Well, I am
sorry. I'm going to catch more Pokemans.
Yeah, that's something that, you know, I like the idea of that's sort of one of the arguments we were having, not you and I were having, but that, like, we've had in the past or we've talked about in the past about playing an MMO, a long-term based MMO type game, because, you know, you typically have a relationship or a purely monetary relationship maybe, but you give them money and you keep playing and doing the same old. You keep grinding, you keep on trying, doing whatever. You know, I can't imagine which games I would want to play off the top of my head. Right now it's Fallout 4.
Right. I don't have access to Fallout 4
right
now.
I've been modding and playing Fallout 4. You know, any non-console based game that I would play that is just, all I need is just I just need the GBs. I just need the Wi-Fis to get the game to me.
Right.
But it's already there. It's just on a dusty shelf far away in a computer, someone else's computer. I can just pull it and get it on mine. In a matter of, in my case, days, but in normal cases, minutes.
Minutes or hours.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know how I would feel about that. I certainly would want to get it back.
It's not a fun feeling.
I wouldn't fight that fight. I don't think you should give up on that.
I'm working on it.
Hashtag fight that fight.
Fight that fight. Yeah. Get Bear her gains back.
GBHG. Do it.
Just do it.
Well, cool.
So I hope your week's been going better than
my
mine.
My week's been doing all right. I teach a lot, and I gave some assignments and some exams.
Man,
I've been
what
great
a
in those
professor,
things.
Eh?
That's one of those things where it's like you don't take into account or you don't respect the missing school when you're a student because you're like, we got a weather day, we got a snow day, we got a right. flood day, we get time to do whatever we want. I'm going to go to Domino's, I'm going to eat a whole pizza. Or I'm going to do this,
Man,
I'm going to go
I
play.
Eat a whole pizza.
I'm going to go to you know, someplace and I'm going to get some stuff. Or I'm just going to stay home and veg out and watch Netflix and chill and stuff. You, as a professor and instructor, especially a responsible one, and I think I am a responsible, I really look out for my students, or I try to, it's so frustrating when you're like, now I've got to cancel this class because of the weather, and everyone's not coming, so I can't go on because these people legitimately have problems, and I don't want them to be behind,
right.
But then I have to speed through this chapter so that I can catch them up to this way, so that by the time they get out of this class and go to the next class, they're not already behind. There are a lot of really crazy things that you think about as an instructor, as a professor, so I've been dealing with that also.
Grading
sucks sometimes. But
just give
them
all A's.
I did find somehow between doing that, I'm also studying to take a certification exam, so I'm studying for that. I also found time to play Fallout 4, copious amounts of Fallout 4, by
nice.
The way. And a brand new game that's not even out yet, but the beta's here. It actually may have released today, or it will release next week. It's called Battlefleet Gothic. Armada, and it's in the Warhammer 40K universe.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Russell, he's been on the show. We work with him. He is big into Warhammer 40K, and I guess Warhammer High Fantasy Warhammer.
I
wasn't aware that there were two different universes, but I never did tabletop
either.
As a kid. So he got me into the game. He said, "Hey, it's coming out. Look at this." I looked at it. It is like a real time strategy game in space with spaceships. And you sort of have tactical command over these ships, as much command as you want over them. There are it's pretty much the tabletop game, just instead of turn-based, it's real-time.
Okay.
And everything, it's one of those games that makes you understand sort of how real, like, naval ship battles work, because you can't just turn like a ship in water. So in space, it's similar. You're very big. You're very heavy. So there's actually things that help you turn faster. There's like boosters that like fire the boosters on the opposite side to push you in that turning direction to spin you around.
Yeah.
But it uses a cooldown and you have to let your gauge fill back up. And, you know, you can lose turrets and
really
keep going. There's so many really cool things. It's a game, and I told him this today, it's a game that I normally, under normal circumstances, I wouldn't have purchased for myself.
Like,
I wouldn't have bought it if you wouldn't have said, hey, look at this game. So I plan on doing a little micro review on it, only because I don't want to hurt the lore. I don't want to hurt the game itself by being ignorant to the universe.
Right.
You know, pun not intended, but also intended. I don't want to hurt the game universe by not knowing enough about it. And again, it's such a big, broad, lore-based universe. I'm not sure that I'd do it justice. I did play Dark Heresy, though, which is in the 40K universe.
Okay.
So I feel like I do
have
sort of
literally nothing of the 40K universe. I know it exists.
It's the grim, dark future, man, and it's grim and dark for a reason. Hey, you're on our side. You're telling us that there's some people coming at us. We're going to torture you to make sure you're not lying. You know?
Wow, that's
grim. We're going to do terrible things to you, and then afterwards, we're not even going to apologize. We're going to say, well, we had to be sure. You're promoted to admiral. You know?
I don't want to be an admiral anymore.
It's very, very good. It's a terrible thing where there's the God Emperor in the future and the Omnissiah, and there's tech priests, and they look terrifying. They look like you fell into a box of silverware, like a big box of cloaks and silverware.
Okie dokie.
And they have seemingly Jedi-like powers, and also they're like one half of Dr. Octopus because they have like things coming out of them. It's real crazy.
Wow.
They also found the gas mask, the assault mask with a gas mask combo in Fallout. They're wearing that. So it's really crazy, but I played that. I played Fallout 4. I'm getting ready because last week we talked about the Fallout 4 DLC.
Right.
Getting ready to you know, I'm openly trying to like beat the game again with my I got my female character because I always play female. I love me some women. Not like. That sounded really bad.
It sounded really sexist.
That sounded bad. I'm sorry.
Let's bring up Gamergate.
My bad. I know Feminist Frequency actually stopped doing one of their big pieces in favor of doing a different piece. Yeah, I'm not. That's Anita Sarkeesian.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the details were at the time because I don't particularly care for Anita Sarkeesian. She's very very pitchfork and torch type. You know, feeling, and it's not that the issues that she's talking about isn't important. They're not important. It's just that it's hard to relate because I don't feel, you know, recent comment notwithstanding, I don't feel like I'm ever against equal, you know, rights. I feel like feminism, in a lot of ways, sometimes goes like disproportionately the
other
way.
Well, just like anything, there is extremes.
Right. I think
and
some of her
louder
extremes,
voices are always the extremists.
Yeah, some of her extremes are some of her the issues and the way she speaks and kind of talks about the issues, they don't seem equal. They seem anti,
right,
or you know,
don't disagree,
gender swapped. And I'm not even against that. It's just, you know, say that. Don't say that this is what, you know, we deserve as women or as anyone, you know. Just be very realistic about it. And especially when it's in a gaming universe, you play and you cater to an audience as a game producer and a game developer. If you can't hit that target audience, then you don't make games for very long.
Yeah, honestly, that's my argument. Is she has such a problem with games, why doesn't she start a game development firm and make games that she would like?
Yeah, and that's
to open this can of worms since we're here now.
Yeah. Well, so there are plenty of games that, and I can't remember any of them off the top of my head. I want to say Pitfall, but Pitfall, I think, was made by an all-female development studio at Atari back in the day. Okay. I want to say that's something that I know is a fact and to be true.
No, Pitfall?
Pitfall, yeah.
I thought that was made by a guy, like a single developer, because he got the jump moves from his brother.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's something else. I thought that was Prince of Persia, but maybe it's something else.
Oh, wait. No,
I don't know.
No, I thought it was Pitfall. I don't know.
I don't want to lie.
We try to talk knowledge sometimes. Sometimes we just get confused and say a whole bunch of words.
Knowledge drops us sometimes. We're going to cut to two songs. This is Lamentation of a War Machine by the Megas and The Warrior's Code by Thunderclash. We'll come back, talk about our main segments after the break. You're listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
I am still Red Bear.
You heard The Warrior's Code by Thunderclash. And before that, Lamentations of a War Machine by the Megas. Let's jump right into it. Star Wars Battlefront is coming to the PlayStation VR. What'd you say?
It's a game. Definitely a game.
The new Battlefront is coming to PlayStation VR. Sony announced that the other day. And it's not going to be the exact version of Battlefront that we have right now. That's for PC, that's for PS4, that's for Xbox One. It is going to be an exclusive version, specifically for VR, only for PlayStation VR. That's coming later down the line. In the coming months, they will they'll sort of be dropping little bits of knowledge or whatever. Andrew House said that earlier today. He says, quote, "This will be a Star Wars Battlefront gaming experience like nothing else, where players can transport themselves to a galaxy far, far away." We know that it's Star Wars when you say galaxy far, far away, right?
Like that's dead giveaway there, that one.
But I know you don't have a PlayStation, do you?
I don't have a PlayStation.
So you don't
have
an Xbox.
Wii U.
You have a. We're gonna. Did you hear about the Nintendo NX?
Yeah.
News. They are talking about some of the leaks are starting to appear. Some of the people are saying, "Hey, I got some rumors, man. You want some?"
Yeah,
rumors?
That's. I'm gonna say that's what's happening.
The rumors are that it'll be closer to the Xbox One in power. But it'll be worth like 500 Wii U's or 200 Wii U's or some ridiculous number where when you do the math, it'll be like 13 teraflops. And it's just not even. Or five, maybe it's like 5 teraflops. Or it'll be 500 Vitas. And it's just more, you know, that
I like how we're now measuring performance of systems based off of other systems.
In other systems. So for those who don't know, a flop is a floating point operation. That is effectively, a type of operation that a computer can compute.
Computer's gonna compute
the more computations it can do, the faster it's going to be. In some cases, it's not. So, tech speak aside, you know, Xbox One, PS4, Vita, they all were really, really high. The Wii U wasn't very
high. Well, Nintendo's never focused on performance.
No, I mean, the GameCube and the Wii had the same graphics engine.
Right, you know,
it was an
exactly.
AMD Catalyst-based graphics engine. So, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. But the PlayStation VR on the PlayStation 4, it's going to come out in October. They gave us a release month, $400. $399 for the thing. So they released that at GDC. That's in comparison to the $600 Oculus Rift and the $800 HTC Vive, which $800 is a lot of money, and I'm pretty sure you get the crazy little taco controllers that you get with it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't trust Steam and Valve with controllers anymore. I don't.
You got burned.
After the Steam controller.
It does seem like you're very salty
bad.
About that.
And I mean maybe because this is gonna be my first instance of like virtual 3D full VR controllerness, maybe that's going to change my mind. But as far as a Steam controller, if that thing was free, I would have thrown it away, you know?
Wow.
If
I told you.
If they'd have given it to me, I don't think I'd
Xbox
use it.
Already made a good controller for PC.
But we see, you know, so it was originally called Project Morpheus. So if you think there's a lot of VR stuff, really only three front runners. There's Project Morpheus, or I'm sorry, PlayStation VR, Oculus Rift, and HTC Vive. We'll see that this will support a 180-degree field of view, which is pretty good, and 360-degree tracking with latency less than 18 milliseconds, which is pretty small. It's perceivable in like 25 milliseconds. You can really see how, like, you know, there's some sway. You bob your head around like you're listening to one of those, I don't know, Black Eyed Peas songs, and then you see that there's
what
some,
you do?
Yeah, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, that's the
Help
song.
Help me.
Anyway, so, okay.
Okay, so.
A while back, we talked about Destiny.
Yes, you played
Destiny,
a lot of Destiny.
Our Destinies. Yeah, no, Destiny the game, it was pretty awesome. The first sale figures of that were in the $100 million range or whatever.
I still want that PlayStation.
In the first 24 hours, Ubisoft's Tom Clancy's The Division, brand new game, shattered that with in dollars. Not number of copies, but in dollars. During the first 5 days, they said they destroyed it. And that's $325 million in the first 5 days.
Wow.
The other day, they announced that the worldwide revenue for the first 5 days was $330, so an extra $5 on top of that, which was really, really great.
That's
so,
a lot of money.
I haven't played The Division yet, though, which is...
No, I didn't know it was that anticipated, honestly.
Me
I
either.
Think I kind of missed that one.
I thought it was going to be a big deal. I've seen I saw the trailers from this past E3, and I want to say the previous E3 as well. And I just was like, okay, third person, 28 days later, some bad stuff happened. Maybe Last of Us scenario, sort of, with military, real military Last of Us.
Again, like I said, I maybe it's just because I wasn't like that hyped on it, but apparently someone else was.
Good job,
nerds.
I don't think I've ever shied away from the fact that me personally, I don't particularly like the design and the development style of Peter Molyneux. The guy in charge of Fables and Lionhead Studios.
Yeah, you've mentioned it.
I may have said something about it.
Once or twice.
He's like the Bono of game development because he definitely thinks he's the best.
Yeah, oh God, does he?
So Lionhead was closed. And Fable was canceled. And this is sort of the quote. It's a kind of a long quote, but I'm going to read it anyway.
I'm ready.
I wrote it down because I don't
Story time, kids.
Quote, after much consideration, we have decided to cease development on Fable Legends and are in discussions with employees about the proposed closure of Lionhead Studios in the UK. Additionally, we will close Press Play Studios in Denmark and sunset development on Project Knoxville. These have been tough decisions, and we have not made them lightly, nor are they a reflection on these development teams. We are incredibly fortunate to have the talent, creativity, and commitment of the people at these studios. The Lionhead Studios team has delighted millions of fans with the Fable series over the past decade. Press Play imbued the industry with a unique creative spirit behind games like Max, The Curse of the Brotherhood, and Kalimba, which both captured passionate fans. These changes are taking effect as Microsoft Studios continues to focus its investments and development on the games and franchises that fans find most exciting and want to play, end quote. That was from Microsoft Press. So, fun, weird fact. Like, apparently Lionhead Studios and the community managers and everybody over there, they didn't know about it until it was happening.
Oh, wow.
It was getting
That's
published
crazy.
To Xbox, like Livewire or whatever. It was getting published to that as they were in the meeting where they were being told, which was insane. Like,
wow.
That's crazy. Now,
I would hate to be at my job and be told, it's over.
There are tons of ways to handle that. Like, I'm not sure
I don't think that's a good way.
I'm not sure that there is a very good way.
It's not a good way, but that's not the way.
Sony, and I'm not sure that I should give Sony props to this because it's purely self-serving for them, but they did post it to their Twitter. It said, on Monday, Sony will hold an event in Guildford to help recruit affected Lionhead employees after the closure of their studio. So they are looking to, you know, invite people in, have a drink on them, chat, and talk about potential job opportunities at Sony following the closure of Lionhead UK. I'm not sure that there's
Sony
another Lionhead
like
Studios. Are you aware of a US version?
Not that I know of.
I thought it was just Lionhead UK.
I think so, but again, I don't know.
I also don't know that that Peter Molyneux is even affected or affecting Fable anymore. Like, he may be on to like Goddess and just like other types of games that, you know, he's being Peter Molyneux with. But I was never really a big Fables fan. I know my brother was. I think you played Fables.
I played a few Fables, yeah.
I never had an original Xbox.
So the
original Fable, I got it on PC, like the anniversary edition or whatever. I don't think I ever beat it even.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I might, provided it doesn't have games for Windows Live, I might pick it up for the cheap and try to play through it. So, Fun fact.
I'm ready.
Do you know that if you had Final Fantasy 14, I'm not saying that it's on Xbox One, but if it was on Xbox One or Xbox 360, and you had people that you wanted to play with on PC, that you couldn't do that.
Right.
And you also couldn't play with the people on PS4.
Correct.
Or PS3.
Yes.
And that's because for a long time, we think we've understood that the consoles did not want to work together.
Not even a little bit.
Well, it turns out that some light kind of got shed on this recently. Xbox said, hey, we're trying to monopolize. They didn't say monopolize because that's a bad word.
Wow.
We're trying to
Triggered.
Blend the PC, where the PC and the console generations together. We're trying to make it so that consoles and PC, one big happy family.
Working on everything.
You know, right. Well,
everything.
Everything, even you. So they're trying to push towards making things sort of ubiquitous. You know, everything's all the same.
Right.
Well, homogenous, is that the word? They're making
homogenous would probably be a good word choice.
They want to make consoles and PCs very similar so that you develop on one, it works on the other, and vice versa, and you don't have to worry about cross development teams or porting, which is always a bad thing usually.
Yeah.
But of course, Xbox only, like not PS4,
yeah.
Obviously.
Clearly.
They said that, you know, we are going to enable cross-network play for our Xbox system and the PC system.
Okay.
PS4 is, and Sony's been doing this. If you were playing Final Fantasy 14 on PS4, you could play with PC players. No big deal. Mm-hmm. Rocket League and PC on PS4 and PC, totally do it. So it's literally, it's not at that point.
And Microsoft
Sony.
Spinning it as,
yes.
Ah, that's funny.
So I'm not saying, you know, I'm of course a Sony snob. I do like
you
Sony
are.
More. They're not without their problems, but I think they at least understand that when you've got JRPGs like Final Fantasy,
right.
You know, and you have a Japanese-based, you know, console creation team, you cater to that market. You cater to your audience. And that's the audience
that's
they had.
Money.
That's the audience they catered to. Rocket League, obviously, a giant...
Huge success.
For weird reasons.
Yeah, exactly. you can play Sweet Tooth on PlayStation.
Yeah.
That's worth it.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, they wanted to make sure that you could... You don't have to have a separate environment.
Right.
Which is very interesting. And I think a good thing. Another interesting... kind of a tainted subject, in my opinion, is recently Rock Band 4, Harmonix released word that through a FIG campaign, FIG is like Kickstarter, but not Kickstarter, whatever.
Why are there so many of these startup
these
things?
Little
like, you know what? I'm going to start a Kickstarter to start a Kickstarter type of service.
That might work. You can, yeah, that seems trendy enough to do that. Somebody takes
so.
It.
I think that may actually. I'm going to retire.
Harmonix recently said that now that Rock Band 4 is off the ground, hashtag it sort of isn't off the ground, mainly because
you're bad at hashtags.
Well, it frustrates me because I love Rock Band. Like I've been playing Rock Band since one.
Yeah, I know.
Four
I have a
out.
Lot of fond memories of Rock Band.
I know, right?
In the apartment.
They and the one thing that I've always wanted is Rock Band on PC. Well,
okay,
they released that through a FIG campaign, through a crowdfunding campaign. You can have that. And I'm thinking, you are a big development studio. You just released a game that has sold a lot of copies.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're paying your people. But why aren't you developing, you know, Rock Band 4 for PC? Obviously, there's a need. People definitely want it. They've been asking about it for the last 8 years, 9 years. Why have you not done this? And they say, okay, well, we're going to do it now with your help. And they're asking for $1.5 million to do it. Which is a lot of money.
I'm just going to say, Undertale asked for $5,000.
Right.
And it actually released
now,
is
now, granted,
amazing.
They want to do a lot of things, right? They want to put a lot of eggs in this basket. They want to rebuild or rebirth the Rock Band Network 2.0.
But they're also an entire development company.
They are an entire development company with several people. And the great thing is, you know, they've done this before.
Right. This isn't like a new venture for them.
This has been their thing for a while. So it's kind of bothering me that this is something that, you know, that they're going to ask for money to do. And then there's also that weird thing where Rock Band 1, Rock Band 2, Rock Band 3, Rock Band Lego Band, Green Day Rock Band, Beatles Rock Band, and then the track packs, the metal packs, the country packs, all that stuff, and the existing DLC.
Yes.
The first half, everything notwithstanding the recently released DLC, Rock Band Blitz. Sorry, I forgot that one. All of that, all the disc-based things that had export keys that the export keys have expired on.
Okay.
Where does that DLC go? Where does my backlog of hundreds of songs go that I did not purchase and die?
I hate losing things I pay for.
Right. Well, yeah, there we go.
Again,
you know,
I'm
we connected,
right now.
We connected it to Steam just now. Where does all that DLC go? Because I have it on PC and I never had an export key for Rock Band 1, 2, 3, Blitz, Beatles, Green Day, any of that stuff, do I not get those songs or those tracks? on the PC version. No one seems to be asking that question, or if they are, they are deleting those from Reddit, because I have looked.
Oh, wow.
You know, it is one of those things where is my, you know, logically or logistically, I guess, the licenses are not going to allow them to do that. There will be a ton of money invested into necessary in order to revive those licenses, and they may not even be able to do it.
Right. I'm about to say that there is always issues because of how the entertainment industry
works.
It's
IP. It's theirs. It's not theirs. You know, it's right. Someone else's.
Exactly.
So that's weird, but we are going to cut to a song, come back. We're going to end out the show, maybe finish on one story that I think we are going to... I think, really like.
I have no idea what he even had planned.
This is the blind show for
him. I'm completely blind.
This is Euphemia by Area 11. We'll come back after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You listen to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the show where we talk about all that stuff. I'm MG still.
I'm still Red Bear.
But we're about to be out of time, so we got to wrap it up.
Talk about Super Mystery Section.
You just heard Euphemia by Area 11. Okay, moving on. There has been a new study published from the Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health that...
That sounds official.
Yeah. It was published in the Social Psychiatry and Psychiatric Epidemiology. It's weird.
Okay. Let's keep going. What is
effectively, 13 researchers analyzed habits for 3,000 children, more than 3,000 children between 6 and 11 years old. So okay. Young children in Europe back like 6 years ago. So 2010. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, 2010.
That was 6 years ago?
Yes.
Dang.
Yeah, it's 2016 now.
Shut up. I'm not old.
So anyway, they analyzed these video game habits, and they found that if you played video games for at least 5 hours a week, so 5+ hours a week of video games, you had fewer psychological issues than students who played video games like not at all, who didn't play games or as much, so less than 5 hours.
Oh, God, I wonder how it would turn out if I'd never saw video games.
And wait, based off of ratings by teachers, these students did better both academically and with social adjustment.
Wow.
What?
Take that, haters.
Get that, mom. Thought I was going to be a shut-in. Huh. Not talk to real people, only talk to radio people.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's an awesome study. Now,
it's really awesome.
It's hard to look at the bad part of this because they don't want to say, hey, you could play, video games all you want. Obviously stuck on a machine for, 80 hours a week.
Is my life.
That is a problem. Well,
that's
occupation now.
Is a problem or an occupation?
Playing video games.
A society.
Not being able to pull yourself out of that, obviously that's a problem. But this study pretty much says that
there are issues that can arise.
Yeah, you can't say video games are not harmful. You could say that video games in moderation, probably based off of science and observational science, they're not harmful. Probably 5+ hours. Now, that's
good
not
enough
saying,
for me.
That's not playing 28 hours a game a day or 20 or 28 hours a day would be a feat. That'd be awesome. I would just be impressed.
Wow.
28 hours or 30 hours a week, that would be a problem. Actually, no, I think that's 5 hours a day. Five times seven. Yeah, so 35 hours. Wow.
Five.
So yeah, I guess that's fine. I need to game more.
Jeez.
I feel, and again, we have to end the show because we're almost out of time. But I feel that the interesting thing about this is that 6 to 11 years old in 2010, games in 2010 were way different from games when we started playing games. In the mid 90s,
they're much better.
So they're much better, and I feel that games back in the day maybe they helped us more problem solving wise. But games now, like Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing is a great game. It may not be the game for everybody, but there's a lot of interaction in Animal Crossing. The Sims. The Sims teaches you basic relationships. You were talking about Pokemon over the break.
Which one did exist in 96, but...
Yeah. I mean, it teaches you all of these basic problem-solving skills. Tomb Raider. I was playing Tomb Raider in the 90s, and I totally understood. Like, my spatial recognition was way better. Ignore the fact that I had bad depth perception because of my glasses. But, I mean,
I have no idea how that is.
Right. So, but this is cool. I mean, what do you think? This is...
I think that is a study that needed to happen, and I'm glad that someone's doing it. And I think all of us kids from the 90s, we told you so.
It's a modern societal thing now. Like, games are here to stay, you know. They didn't crash in 83. Right. They came back harder and stronger than ever. And they're here. They're not going to go away anytime soon. In fact, they're going to be more related. I've seen training simulations for, like, oil pipeline workers that started playing games and then are now 28, 29 years old. They're our age, almost. And they are training in Unity. They're training in the Unity game engine with nice VR. It's really, really awesome. So anyway, we're almost out of time. Before we leave, let's talk about Sluggo. 21. Can you believe it's 21?
We're 21? No way.
Sluggo is an all-night nonstop gaming event. Per the poster, it's in Hammond, Louisiana. So it's coming the March 18th, which is like that's 2 days Friday. From now. So Friday, it's in Fayard Hall, room 107 and 101 at 3 p.m. They got room 101. It's the big auditorium.
Nice.
If you want more information, email acm@slu.edu. Remember, there's a $5 entry fee that goes towards fronting and donations for the ACM. But you got CGB, Big Easy Comics, Second and Charles, Papa John's, and Southeastern themselves, as well as the actual ACM that are throwing down some sponsorship for this event so you can get some prizes. You could play,
contests?
Let's see. I think there's Magic. Tournaments. There's Magic Gathering. There's a Mario Kart. There's going to be a Super Smash Brothers. I'm sure there'll be some first-person shooter, NIS, maybe there Halo or something. There's a lot of stuff going on. We've pitched it on the show before, and we've always loved it. So we're out of time. We'll hit you back next week, next Wednesday from 9 to 10 p.m. Before we leave, though, what is the website, Bear?
Go to the website. It's exppoints.com. Double tap the P.
You can double tap that P and get all of our news, reviews, use anything relating to audio online. We're streamable on iTunes and on Stitcher. We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. You can hit us up, like, subscribe, link, friend, do everything with that. We're going to leave you with one song and one song only. This is Dan Bull with Life is Strange. I don't know if we played this on the show before. This may be new. So
let's find out.
If you enjoy it, let us know. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
We'll catch you next week on Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.